Good evening, everyone. It's been a long time coming. Probably a bit too long there. But I'm finally back again with my usual guest, Bobatron, or Rob Amster, if I can pronounce his full name correctly.
Yes.
And here we have another podcast for BBFC VAPAA. And we're going to be talking about animals. I would like to apologize if my voice sounds a little bit funny, like I say, maybe a little West Country or a bit of a Brummie, but I'm actually not. I'm from the Southeast and I just got quite a serious cold. Hopefully, it gets better.
Can't say I've noticed, but it's but now you have mentioned it, I probably won't be able to not be able to notice it. Who's it?
Well, yeah, I like to crack jokes every now and again there, but, the reason why I thought to do this one, particularly about animals, is because it's a subject that probably, to some extent, Rob can relate to quite a lot more than some of the other ones I had in mind. As you are, you own a cat.
I do indeed. It's been just over a year since I got little Mills, and yeah, she's a absolutely love her.
You're more than welcome to bring the cat onto the microphone. They could do
Probably get more of a hiss if I start picking her up against the wheel. She is quite. She is right here. You might be able to hear her in the background, but she's probably not. She's probably a bit too high pitched to be picked up by camera.
Well, to each his own, I suppose. I won't hold it against her, really. But well, let's start with the basics. What has been your basic experience with animals, or at least like issues related to animal abuse, animal cruelty, bestiality in films, from when you were a child to a teenager to adult?
To be honest, I don't know how well prepared I am for this one. One of the cartoons I watched as a kid was Animals of Farthing Wood. Have you heard of it?
I only know about it in passing. I'm more familiar with Watership Down and Wind in the Willows. We're talking about sort of early era animal TV shows that are
Yeah,
British.
well. Animals of Farthing Wood is kind of like Watership Down, only a TV series and everything. I mean, it's aimed at kids, but I mean, it's doesn't pull any punches. It does have animals getting killed, left, right. Well, not left, right, and center, but there is quite frequent animal killing. It's obviously within the confines of nature, but still pretty gruesome. Like Watership Down, the when released on video, it did have a U rating. So, yeah, it's a. But it's like I say, a kids' program that doesn't patronize them. I remember one particular episode where the animals, well, this probably doesn't make a lot of context for those who don't know what it's about. But basically, the animals are walking from Farthing Wood, which is being destroyed and bulldozed, to a place called White Deer Park, which is quite a journey. Anyway, one episode on that journey, they hide out in a farm, and this feat. Female pheasant gets seen by the farmer and then gets shot. And the male pheasant sees a farmer carrying her dead corpse back to the farmhouse. Actually, it wasn't the male pheasant who sees it; it's the owl who sees it. Tells the pheasant. Anywho, later on, the said male pheasant goes back to look for one of the goes back to the farm to look for the snake that's still being left behind. And sees his wife's basically all dead and cooked on the windowsill, and then in 5 seconds later, he's shot too.
Oh, that's something a bit cutthroat about that whole thing. At this end on BBC or
BBC One, yeah, during children's BBC hours, it's one of those after-school cartoons I used to watch when I was in primary school. Just for the Americans watching, primary school is what we call elementary school in the UK.
I wish I got to experience Animals of Farthing Wood when I was growing up because there was a time with British animation, at least in the 70s, maybe to some extent the 80s, where it was a little bit more of a wild card. And I'm not just talking about Watership Down, but you also have stuff like The Trapdoor and Ludwig. a few others that, for some reason, have always had a reputation of trying to sort of creep young children out, or at least entertain them with such a weird whimsy you can't even put it on the tip of your tongue. And then, well, that's just my experience there, but most of my experience was sort of animals in British animations, mostly for like stuff like the Herbs, Rhubarb and Custard, which is
did
like
not,
Bartman's generation.
Did you not watch anything by Cosgrove Hall?
Well, actually, I've got a friend of mine who used to work doing the animation for them, like Noddy. I think they've done Noddy.
Possibly. I'm thinking Danger Mouse and Duckula are the two flagship ones, but also as Victor and Hugo, and later they did Phantom Cat, who I didn't watch a huge amount of that, but Danger Mouse and Duckula were probably their two greatest programs. And I was watching some old episodes later on, wow, it is actually quite out there in some places. I mean, they were, you might wonder as if like the animators or the writers were just a little bit, well, on the wacky-backy or something stronger. But, you know, getting off topic and everything, so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, I mean, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who worked in the British animation industry. One of my good friends used to work for Cosgrove Hall, and I think he's done some contract with other companies as well. So they are very familiar with some of the sort of, what I would like to call sort of counterculture stuff. I mean,
that's what I meant.
Channel 4 was pretty much the big thing for a lot of sort of upstarting British animators to get a lot of their work passed through Channel 4, which is how Thick Park got to be known for with Creature Comforts and a few other programs as well, Bob and Mark, written by Alison Stern and David Fine. But that's a little bit off topic myself there. But I will say from my experience with sort of animal issues as far as films are concerned, well, I never paid too much attention to it, really, because a lot of the stuff I was watching, at least up until I was 14, was, you know, scenes of animals, but you never see them, like, shot or killed, unless they're being cut up for meat, like hunting. It wasn't really until I started seeing that anime I always talk about a lot that begins with Elf and ends with
Elf and Lead, yeah. I wondered how long it was going to be before you mentioned that.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people are probably thinking, okay, I'm switching off. He's going to talk about that fucking show, I'm leaving. But no, I think it's appropriate to talk about it because
that scene.
One I have talked to was more disturbed by the scene where a dog is beaten to death. It's played off screen much of it, weirdly enough, but you do see bloody detail resulting and just, it's very sadistic. I think even if it wasn't 18, it still would have caused quite a bit of a riffraff because people love their dogs so much. They treat them as their companions, as they do their cats. Now, for me, the scene that was more disturbing than that was the rape scene involving the young girl and a scene where a child is shot in the head after being tortured in the lab. That was more horrific, but that's my experience. And then on the flip side, because you've got the animal violence and cruelty stuff, Clerks 2, which had a really bizarre scene of bestiality and zoophilia of all things, where it shows a donkey being buggered by some sort of S&M dominatrix, male dominatrix. I thought, whoa, 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 what's going on here? I found it a bit disturbing, really.
Well, I think that one was kind of played off for laughs and everything, so I could let that go. But yeah, as was probably the case of most people, animal cruelty is like one of those things I just can't that does rub me the wrong way and everything. I can watch like, I don't know, a mass psychopath just go around slaughtering people left, right and center just all day and just think, hey, this is cool and awesome and everything. But as soon as like an animal gets killed, yeah, it does really bother me. I mean, it's only in the special edition or director's cut, I can't remember what it is, of Terminator 2. just think what might get what I'm referring to here. Just brief, when John Connor and the Terminator have just been got off the phone to, well, they think it's his, originally think it's his foster mum, but it's actually the T-1000 in disguise. And of course, like, the dog's barking, and he goes, well, what's wrong with Woofy? Well, Woofy's fine, honey. So then, basically, after the call ends, the T-1000 just goes right onto the dog's pen and just stabs it to death. It's like, oh, that is so wrong.
I almost forgot that scene existed even in the film, because it's been a while since I've seen T2, but whether it was made back then or even now, people generally don't respond very well to scenes of animal violence against animals. Probably even more so than scenes of violence against women and children. For anyone who is in the know, I am a little bit unusual in this regard, because I'm more of a human rights activist than I am an animal rights activist, but we don't really support the whole upper class's obsession with fox hunting. And
I was very supportive of it. I was very supportive of fox hunting's ban back in 2004. I first got introduced to fox hunting through Animals of Farthing Wood. So when I first heard it, I just thought they kill foxes for fun. That is so cruel. I'm just so glad they outlawed that. I just do not see why people would think it's a right, an able right, to go around murdering animals.
You'll be surprised at the many people who think it is pretty much for sport. What my problem is that it's tied with the upper classes, the elites, and they think, forget the sods, those plebs, those peasants. Let's go out on our hunting with our rifles over in Winchester in Hampshire. What upon the old Pims? They just all talk like that.
What's just weird, I think. I mean, in America, it's not, well, it's just not associated with elites or anything like that. I mean, when they usually bring up the issue of guns in America, when the gun rights will always, one along with self-defense or home protection or whatever, they'll also say, oh, I use a gun for hunting. And I'm just sort of thinking, why the fuck? Yeah, but that's not a good reason to have a gun. You don't you don't have a right to go around murdering animals for sport. I mean, if you're hunting them for, you know, to eat them, I guess that's one thing. But quail hunting is not done for frickin'... Okay, that is more the elite types. But that's not done to eat the quail. That's just done for shits and giggles. Also, they say killing animals for fun is a sign of a serial killer. So, you know, that.
No, it is true. I don't remember specifically the names, but they were caught trying to beat cats to death. In fact, I think I lived in a neighborhood where I think one of the neighbors... It was rumored that he killed someone's cat, and I know you're probably thinking, I'm going to go out there and try and kill them bastards, but please, please don't. But it was rumored that he killed our neighbor's cat, and you saw the dead... The cat's name was Poppy. It was lying on the floor, and I thought, if I touch it, it's going to hiss or meow at me, and I was a little bit fearful of even wanting to be in the scene, but I had to see the dead cat's body lying around near where I lived in my neighborhood. It was not the best of times, I will say, but animal abuse, it can go one or two ways. I know you said about the meat and the hunting thing. For me, I'm in the US because I'm partly American. It's a bit more egalitarian, I would suppose, although, you know, to buy the firearm, the ammunition, and the crossbows and stuff, you do have to have at least some money. And most of those types of people, you generally will find in, like, more rural parts of the country, like Wyoming and Alaska and Montana, where you can't get to a supermarket. You at least have to kind of fend for yourself, really, up in the snow and the mountains hunting for deer. But, yeah, you know, if you're someone who loves animals, as any girl would, or even Rob... No, it's not pretty. Not pretty. But I'm sorry, I got a little bit of a tangent myself there. But the topic itself could go one of two ways. I know I've talked about it through a prism of violence and then the sexual stuff. I think it's the sexual stuff involving animals that usually tends to rub people the wrong way. So many people not like Shape of Water for that somewhat of a reason, because they thought it was promoting bestiality.
I've not seen that, so I can't comment.
Well, I'll put it this way. A woman falls in love with a fish mutant thing created in the lab. It's
I've heard of it.
It's
a
really nice film. It's actually not pornographic or some sort of sick, depraved zoophilia porn that you would find, like, in something, let's say, like... I don't know, Clerks 2, or Max My Love, which is a French film involving Charlotte Rampling getting it on with a monkey.
Oh, nice.
Or watching a Blue Mountain State movie, had a scene where a man's doing a go. It's like fucking Wales. No offence, they always seem to stereotype Welsh people as sheep shaggers, but I never saw it.
Well, I... Of course, it doesn't actually happen. There's just one of those jokes that goes around because there's a lot of sheep in Wales. That's why it's why they say the same thing about New Zealand, because they've got more sheep than people. So people just make jokes about them being sheep shaggers. Not actually true. On this subject of animal cruelty thing, well, on the stage animal cruelty, three films that always other films that came to mind have been there's the first Halloween, albeit I don't know if you see it particularly on screen. There's Dog Soldiers, which I think you've said you've seen.
I've seen Dog Soldiers. It's a very strong 15.
Oh, yeah. When I first saw that, that was like shortly, not too long after they'd loosened up at 15. I'm just sat there thinking, wow, if Furman saw that, that'd be an 18. Because it's more violent than any of the other 18 films I associated with the 18 rating growing up. But obviously those films are now 15s. But obviously there's that scene at the beginning where... Kevin McKidd's character is asked by Liam Cunningham to shoot this dog. He refuses, so Liam Cunningham does it himself. And that rubbed me the wrong way. Another film is that film that's based on a Stephen King book called Sleepwalkers.
That one I'm not familiar with, I'm afraid.
Well, I mean...
Is it like Pet Sematary?
Well, no, maybe. Probably yes and no in its own way. It's Stephen King, so there's probably some similarities. Basically, I mean, well, it's based on Stephen King book, yeah. It came out in 92, I think. I can't even remember now. But basically, I think the sleepwalkers are essentially some sort of vampire-like creatures. But apparently, they're vulnerable to cats, and cats can sort of sniff them out and everything. Some of that. Anywho, to... I'm giving too much of it. By the way, if you've got your phone separate handy, you might want to quickly Google it or Wikipedia it, just so you have a vague idea of what I'm on about.
I always have my MacBook at the ready, so I'm more than happy to check it for you. Often the keys don't make any noise here.
I don't care if they do. no, but seriously, yeah, you do that. But anyway, back on topic. Yeah, there is like a big fight scene towards the end with these... sleepwalker type person again who I think is some sort of psychic vampire or vampire. I can't remember what it is. I've only seen it once and it's not that great a film, but anyway, the cats are attacking her at one point, and of course a few of the cats get killed in the fight, and oh boy, I do not like the idea of cats being killed.
Oh, as you're a pet owner yourself, I would completely understand why.
Cats have always been my favourite animal. I do like dogs as well, but I've grown up around cats and I've always had a big soft spot for them.
For me, my favourite pet, I don't have one, but he comes around every now and again, is a little lizard that sometimes likes to do push-ups near where I live. And my grandmother has a turtle, so we're always more than happy to talk about the turtle as he... traverses through his habitat as if it's like a Richard Attenborough type documentary you see on BBC. Now, speaking of turtles, Cannibal Holocaust. Ouch!
I've not seen Cannibal Holocaust. I've seen Cannibal Xerox, which, whilst most of the violence is now intact, the BBFC have still not released it uncut due to some scenes involving animal cruelty. Because I was going to build to that eventually. Animal cruelty is still one of the things that BBFC won't allow in any film, even at 18, because legally I don't think they're allowed to. Like, animal cruelty is still just banned from movies in this country. Some films are still complete cut to just do it. I mean, Rambo 3 and Conan the Barbarian, and I think Conan the Destroyer as well, are still cut mandatory over here because there's a one or two scenes where a horse fall has been happened through using tripping. In fact, Tom actually had this discussion with on one of his podcasts, not ones with me, with some other guy, about the film Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid,
I remember seeing that. That was a PG for a long time.
Yeah, and it was uncut. It's been bumped up to a 12, but it's actually had a bit of footage cut now because one of the scenes of having a horse fall was done by a tripping wire. And of course, that if it's actually deliberate animal cruelty, then it will be forcibly removed from the movie over here. Which is weird, because apparently I'll let you speak in a minute. I've just got a bit more to say. In the first Friday the 13th, there's a scene where a snake is killed, and apparently that was actually done. And yet, that film is still, to this very day, uncut, apparently.
Well, it might be some of the specific restrictions that they place on what type of animals or mammals can be killed versus what which ones can't. Snakes, they have a different sort of skeletal composition and anatomy than, like, let's say, like a dog. And if it's like a sort of quick type of death, they're more willing to be a little bit more flexible about it than if it's involving sort of long due agony and pain. It's also one of the reasons why there's even, you know, dietary restrictions in the world, like kosher and halal. They can cut in a certain way, but they have to cut it quick and almost painlessly. Otherwise, it would be haram to consume.
That runs contrary to something I've heard, because Poland recently, a few years back, passed a law banning kosher and halal slaughter on the grounds of animal protection, because when you're doing kosher and halal slaughter, they can't stun the animal. So it tends to, which means that when the animal is killed, it's done quite painfully. And I remember one of my friends who I follow on Facebook and Twitter, but also on YouTube, while he is like hardcore left wing, like anarchist and everything, he's also a hardcore vegan. So he actually did turn around and say that, yeah, he supported the law because he can't endorse that method of killing. But then he does bring up the issue of how KFC do it as well, which is also unbelievably barbaric.
I know for a lot of people go to KFC or even just eat cheap chicken you can get at Tesco, because it is one of the cheaper meats that are available and around. But sometimes they do make, well, actually a lot of the time, they make it in factories where it's like crammed, not very ethical or free range, as they would say, on like the packaging. It's more like just like a streamlined process where, and many of them, they'll just inject hormones to make the breasts and the thighs fatter so they can sell it over at Tesco for about £4.50. I think it's a bit voodoo of it all. You know, if you put too much artificial ingredients or hormones into foods, it will come into the consumer ultimately, eventually, in the form of cancer or disease or even obesity. But that's, I guess, you could talk about it in the context of an animal censorship, but I think that's more to do with meat and human consumption. That's more of a podcast, not
something. Yeah, not related to animal rights. It's more related to although you could say it's like, well, they're force feeding animal their livestock horrible stuff, which is to like get them fat or something, which is in itself quite unethical. But yeah, that's more of a concept of health and safety and consumer rights. So yeah, it's not really related to our topic.
But in some way, it does tie in all together. Which I'll mention in just a moment, but I will say about the cannibal Holocaust scene, in an uncut version, which I think is still illegal in British law, it shows a turtle being killed alive and then being eaten by the documentary film crew that was supposedly trying to investigate the sort of disturbing actions of an Amazonian tribe. And we see it fully alive, uncut, quite in vivid detail with blood, gory innards that are being exposed from the turtle that's had its shell and everything else open. In question, that scene is quite rough. You usually would not see something like that in any film, unless it's like a Amores Perros, so like a Alejandro González Iñárritu film, who's one of the few filmmakers that I'm aware of that it openly shows animals being cut up or killed and doesn't even think twice about it. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching one episode of Cutting Edge Films. I was talking about one of the Hellraiser films. I can't remember which one it was, but there was an episode where a character kills and skins a mouse, and originally the BBFC wanted to cut that because they believed it was a real mouse. But then the director or producer or someone involved in the film brought the mouse prop in, showed the mouse prop to the BBFC to advise them, no, it wasn't a real mouse. It was it was a fake nerve thing. It was staged. Because of that, it got left in it. The BBFC allowed it into the film.
I'm actually a little surprised about that, though. Usually they're quite strict on that sort of matter. But I know if you ever get into sort of trouble with regards to animal abuse matters in films, you usually will have to at least show like some sort of documented proof or get some clearance from the American Humane Association, which often not monitors when animals or mammals are being handled by film crew and staff and whatnot. So I understand.
Well, that's usually a disclaimer in the credits to say no animals were harmed in the making of this production. Which, well, obviously they can't put that in there if it's lying. So that obviously does help get... Obviously in America, that wouldn't be a censorship issue, but in Britain it can be. But...
I think there was even a movie that I thought... It was a Mexican animation, weirdly enough. It's PG-13 in the States, but in Britain it was known as Little Rooster's Excellent Adventure. That was a PG animation that dealt explicitly about cockfighting, which I know there's an NFL player that got in legal trouble. I think he was arrested for it, called Michael Vick, and he was doing some sort of thing like that, but with dogs. But in this case, we see chickens or hens and roosters fighting in sort of like a boxing ring sort of thing. It's quite comical, but I was almost thinking, this movie's never going to get played in Britain because it depicts cockfighting. I know people make big money off that sort
of thing. Animated, isn't it? And isn't it using sort of like anthropomorphized animals, like from the animal's point of view and all that?
Yeah, it's all completely computer generated. But
I think that's probably why it could be let go and all that. I mean, I think contextually speaking, that's remarkably different than if it was actually like a live action film involving real cockfighting.
No, exactly that. Well, now thinking about it, you just reminded me. Snatch had scenes, and that's one of the first 18 films I saw with Snatch. That had
15 now.
Scenes of dog fighting, and I think there was a scene of a dead dog with blood lying on the floor, and I thought,
But again, that might probably have been, obviously using a fake dead dog and everything. I mean, I think, like I say, I mean, most often they will find a way to stage this rather than actually do it because, again, they, especially being a British film, they would have known they wouldn't be allowed to get away with that. So they must have staged that. I don't think they would have used I really don't think they would have used a real dead dog, dude.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I don't think Guy Ritchie's that stupid. I mean,
well, I don't think he's that callous or cruel or vindictive.
No, maybe if it was Nick Love, but if it's Guy Ritchie, who's had experience with big boys, he did the fucking Aladdin remake of all places. So, yeah, I get what you mean there, but I probably wanted to get back to my point about, I was saying about ethical farming.
Yeah. Well,
in the 80s and the 90s, it was quite big business for a lot of these sort of charities and organizations that were promoting certain causes to have ads that play before films that, were frankly quite disturbing and controversial, had graphic imagery. And many of them would be past 18, some of them 15, but mostly 18, on the basis of showing, and raising awareness of the issue of animal abuse or unethical farming. There's Tom probably would know this because he knows, like me, about advertising and PIFs, public information films. And there's a very famous one that was from Lynx. Not that fragrance or spray, but it was a charity organization that was in Dunbar, Essex, but they now called it Respect for Animals. And that had a scene where a group of people were going through a catwalk and wearing fur coats and throwing blood all over the catwalk. And that caused quite a bit of a stir, mainly on the basis of that particular scene with the blood, and then also it had the line saying, "It takes 20 bitches to make a fur coat." Which, okay.
Yeah, but that's a good reason for... I mean, you may say it's quite shocking, but it's meant to be, because it's meant to get a point across.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, that's... I love public information films. Sometimes I love them even more than actual films themselves, especially when you see the big scary 18 at the bottom and the sort of scratchy 35mm print. It makes me nostalgic, because when I was growing up, we didn't really have those sort of ads, at least in the 90s and 2000s. Well, I mean, most of the ads were all sort of U certificate up until 2004. And then I think there was an ad that I saw. It was somewhere. It was showing a noose, and it was implying hanging is still legal in Scotland. Bandsnares.com. And it's pretty much a PG certificate, however, but it shows a noose with blood dripping off out of it, or like a dog tag, which implies you know, foxes being caught by snares in the wild for trapping. So yeah, that's a... I'm sure you probably wouldn't like the ad in question, but I thought it was quite effective.
Well, I mean, not heard of it. It doesn't sound like something I'd enjoy if it's about, you know, animal cruelty, like off badger baiting or fox hunting. If it gets a point across, it gets its point across. But yeah, I don't know what much to add to that, really. I was thinking, actually, on a subject of, as it's about animals, would we be talking about creature features?
That would qualify on some level. I mean, werewolves are sort of imaginary, and then phoenixes, dragons, but...
I was more thinking something along the lines of Jaws.
Oh, yeah, go right ahead. I mean, most people are scared of sharks. Most people will wish them dead, but they are sea animals or sea mammals, so...
Well, they're animals. I mean, we talk about how... I'm in a film, we don't like it when an animal gets killed, either be it a dog or a cat or a mouse or something along those lines. Of course, there are films where the animal is the main antagonist and is the sense of threat or danger to the humans, with Jaws being the prime example. And there are many other shark flicks that we're going at, most of which are absolute crap. Don't get me started on Deep Blue Sea. But
don't
again,
start on 47 meters down.
Well, I've not seen that.
Or the Meg.
The Meg could have been better if it was half an hour shorter. But yeah, I do see your point. There's also films like Lake Placid or Alligator, which involve, well, crocodiles and alligators, which of course are creatures that can be, well, very dangerous. They can kill you. Can and recently do kill humans quite a bit. I recently actually watched that film Beast with Idris Elba. Have you heard of it?
I was actually surprised it got a 15 certificate, because I saw the advertising for it and I thought, oh, it's going to be a 12. It's like a bit like Jurassic Park sort of thing. But I think it's actually quite bloody.
It is. It's R-rated stateside.
Oh no, I remember it was. I was a little bit perplexed by it, because usually films involving safari animals, that sort of thing, usually tend to be at least 12. I was a little surprised by its 15 certificate, but I guess it was more along the lines of like Crawl, which was a movie about a killer alligator that was killing people in the bayou.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, Crawl was definitely quite good, but and Deep Blue Sea was also R-rated as well. But no, Beast was it was an okay film. Maybe it could have been better. Starts off pretty not give too much away, but it does start off pretty horribly, because a bunch of poachers go after a pride of lions and just pretty much murder all of them bar one, and so that one male lion just goes on an absolute killing rampage, which I'm not too sure a lion would actually do, but and of course it's quite a tragic story, because this lion has basically had its entire pride killed, and now it's going on a killing rampage. Obviously, there's a few things in it that are quite to suspend disbelief. Like, there's a time when Idris Elba's character gets bitten on the spine by the lion, which would kill him outright in real life, but he completely survives. And he kicks the lion in the face at one point, which in real life would do nothing, as this is a creature that can take wildebeest kicks to the face.
Well, I mean, you know, it's Hollywood after all. They will sort of bend the rules of reality on something like that, but who knows? I might go see it.
All right, it's not at the cinema. It's on a streaming.
Oh, yeah, so I was at the library the other day. I actually saw it on the shelf, but I was like, I don't know, really. Creature features, I guess you could count the fly. The Jeff Goldblum, but that's more insects.
It's not so much like that it's creature feature, it's a sci-fi body horror. I don't think that counts, mate.
What about insects? Do they count? Because I love groups like ants and James of the Giant Peach and Men in Black.
I mean, we can add arachnophobia if you want.
Well, I think we can certainly talk about that one, because that is certainly one of the weirdest films I've ever seen to get a PG rating. Especially back then, when a lot of those sort of horror movies were at least 15.
It was PG-13 in America. And of course, remember, a lot of PG-13s got rated PG here, back here.
Oh, I'm well aware. The Mask, Men in Black, anyone?
Yeah. Jurassic Park, which might be a creature feature. Do dinosaurs count?
Oh, they do. I mean, they don't. They're extinct, but they count.
But definitely, yeah. If we talk about, what might call mini beasts or anything, I don't know. Well, bugs, which is basically insects and arachnids both fall into, definitely the arachnophobia would definitely qualify. And what an appropriately titled, because if you're an arachnophobe like myself, it will have you absolutely bricking your pants.
And that's why a film like that should never be a PG, because when you think of PG films, you're thinking of maybe some scary moments, but never for that sustained amount of time. And I know there was some comedy in Arachnophobia to alleviate some of the damage, but I thought it was a little bit disorienting.
It is only that scary because of the creatures that it uses. If it was any other creature other than spiders, it would not be that scary. It would actually be a very goofy film. It's just because it involves spiders, especially those two big fuck-off massive ones at the end, the Queen and the General, that it really just puts the shits through you.
Well, I don't have arachnophobia. I have canardariophobia, which is jellyfish. Are those the ocean? No.
Really, no, Mark? You've never mentioned that before.
Well, I actually have, but jellyfish—they don't really—they're invertebrate. So there's the movie called The Shallows and 7 Pounds. They're not really creature features, but I know The Shallows had that scene involving the jellyfish, and she was stung by it, bloody alive. And I thought, I'm gonna leave the room. My mother saw it; she liked it, but I did not like that one scene. And then 7 Pounds, as Will Smith, who we now know who slapped Chris Rock, actually tried to kill himself by getting stung by a jellyfish in a bathtub. That was horrifying to watch. It was a 12 because of the suicide element, but yeah, that felt like an 18 to me in terms of emotional impact, while something like, let's say, a movie about dolls coming to life would more like be like a PG or you for me. Dolls don't scare me. They're actually quite funny.
Dolls, but maybe not. Clowns, on the other hand, they're scary. But I mean,
I know that's going a bit off topic there, but it does pertain to some level about animals and everything in between. If you're talking about sort of like big stuff, because I know we've talked about Jaws till the wheels come off, just like I talk about certain titles till the wheels come off. And that's a movie that should have never been a PG or an A certificate. I think they slept at the wheel on that one, or at least Steven Spielberg was giving them bribes
You mean Jaws? Well, yep. Like I say, states originally the stateside it was going to get an R rating. They removed like a second or two of footage, got down to a PG. When it was sent over here, it was I think it was the director of the BBFC wanted the Quint's death scene to be cut in order to get it down to an A rather than a double A. But the chairman basically, or was it president? I can't remember. Basically overruled him and said, no, it can be an uncut A, or at least an uncut version that they got from America.
The great irony about that one, because I know you had to have at least like one or two trims to avoid an R rating, but it was a bit ironic that they focused so much on a lot of the sort of video nasty movies that were sort of 18 or banned, but they didn't even look at the other films that were like PG or 15 level, at least A or AA, that were causing quite a bit of a shitstorm. Because Mary Whitehouse probably would not have liked Jaws being a PG.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, I'm surprised. Me and Tom have spoken like at great length about Watership Down its U rating and how Mary Whitehouse never said a goddamn thing about it. It's just too busy talking about all the films like Straw Dogs, Exorcist, and Life of Brian, which are aimed at adults, or at least mature audiences anyway.
Exactly. Most of her hypocrisy. Were 18 films, or films that were on some level banned or heavily cut, which that we could go on that for quite a while, but I know you've talked to Tom on a level about that sort of thing, so I probably won't bring it up again on another podcast, but yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, I will say there.
Another film I was going to ask if you've seen, it's not actually a big full-on theatrical released film, it's more on a sci-fi channel, Marabunta.
Is it about spiders or like ants. A Sharknado sort of thing?
No, it's about ants.
Oh, I probably would like a movie like that. I usually like movies about insects, particularly CG animated ones.
It's not an animated one. It's live action. It's about killer ants, basically. I don't think they're called bullet ants or anything. Fire ants or army ants. And basically, they go around killing people. So basically, and it is quite disturbing. I see people get swarmed by these ants that just start devouring them, and eventually you just see their bare skeleton left after a bit of time. It's just not a nice way to go.
I have to check this one now. In my spare time, I'm a bit inundated with film and TV titles at this time, but I am always curious to see about sort of these weird little insect movies that are like little terrors, I'll say. Do you know if it's 15 or 18?
I think it might. No, I think it's 12.
Skeletons exposed and something like that. Well,
it's not like massively gruesome in a way. I mean, obviously, it would be no more gruesome than Jaws or anything. In fact, I'm just a Marabunta. Oh, it doesn't say. I don't have it. Age rating, but it probably was never released on video over here or at the cinema, so the BBFC probably never got their hands on it. But
that happens. I mean, there's a lot of sort of titles on Disney Plus that have never been officially rated by the BBFC, so they sometimes won't post their own sort of algorithmic rating onto the film or TV show in question, which I don't like. I don't like the algorithm system that they use, but got to live with it.
Wow, that makes... I understand. Also, while we're talking about creature features, have you seen The Grey?
Oh, yes, the Liam Neeson movie where he flies the walls. I will find you and I will kill those walls.
Sorry, I had to do his accent a little bit. Anyway, crowbar and kill some black people. Bad joke. But yes.
Yes, very. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, Liam Neeson and about the issue. Oh yeah, that's that old chestnut. But they say The Grey probably did for wolves what Jaws did for sharks. In other words, it portrayed the creature in an incredibly demonizing and unflattering manner, where it's just these you know, quite magnificent creatures, quite respectful creatures, are just portrayed as these bloodthirsty monsters that will just kill you as soon as look at you, and well, they're not.
I mean, with some animals like bears, you have to approach very cautiously. Don't look at them a certain way, or don't run too fast, and they will come for you. I don't really go out in the wilderness that much. I've been the farm world, which is not too far from Canterbury. That's the contained setting, almost like a zoo. But what film were we talking about again? I was lost for thought.
I thought, well, we a lot, most recently one I brought up was The Grey.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember seeing that quite a few years ago. It's actually a more contemplative film than I imagined it to be. Yes, it had the animal kills, but I think it was more of a story about a bunch of men who were kind of on their last rope, and one of them's a bit suicidal anyways, and ultimately tries to fend for himself after a nasty plane crash. And the scenes in question are quite strong, but I think it's fine at 15. It is not like The Revenant, which sort of is on the upper end of the category. I know that has a scene where a man is brutally mauled by a bear. You can see his throat being slashed. And then Annihilation had a scene where there was some sort of mutant bear attacking a young woman and rips her jaw out. Let me remind you, that's a 15 certificate, by the way. It's by the guy who done Ex Machina and 28 Days Later.
Well, yeah, but I think when in situations like that, because it's either a regular creature feature and everything, or it's a sci-fi horror or something like that, rather than something sadistic on the level of Saw or Hostel, they tend to be a bit more forgiving because of the context. At least that's what I think is the reason.
You're right there. I mean, if it usually has some sort of sci-fi underlying, they're usually a little bit more flexible about that sort of thing. Even if it also has the sort of historical component that, like, The Revenant had, which I know we talked about in the past before, but the scene that actually was more disturbing for me was the rape scene involving an indigenous woman and a French fur trapper.
Definitely far worse.
So, there was a scene where we see Domhnall Gleeson. Donald?
I don't know how you pronounce his name either.
He's scalped. We see his head on the scalping and this gory detail. It was, ugh. I don't like scalping. It rubs me off the wrong way. And, normal abuse. Oh, I'm sorry. We should have mentioned this much earlier on. I haven't seen it myself, but I'm sure millions of people already have. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Probably didn't bring that one up a bit sooner.
Wow. I was very shocked to hear so many people were upset by those particular scenes more than they actually were the F word, which was MCU.
It's only one F bomb, and it's in a 12A/PG rated film. So I was just surprised that the MCU hadn't dropped it in a bit sooner. And as someone who has seen the film, I really think they wasted it.
You're talking about the F word. Okay.
Yeah. What singular F bomb is like, okay, when are we going to use it? Really? That's where you drop it? So okay. You do you.
Saw the clip on question on YouTube and someone tried pirating it from the screen. And he was like trying to open the door or something. He was like, open it, jiggle it. So I said, open the fucking door. It's a bit weird hearing Chris Pratt say that because he's actually evangelical Christian. Weirdly enough, he's a bit all freaky with his politics a bit.
He was in Wanted.
Well, that's probably when he was fat, Chris Pratt. A whole lot has changed about him. Now he's all beefy and he's known for fighting dinosaurs and stuff like that. But that's getting off topic, really. But those animal abuse scenes, which many people have compared to the plague dogs, which I'm just going to brief out for everyone who isn't aware. Plague Dogs is by Worship Down people. Martin Rose directs it, and that has a reputation of being one of the most disturbing animated films ever made. PG certificate, uncut. Even if it's PG-13 in the States, it did cause quite a bit of problems with the censors, or at least audience feedback is concerned, because they found it too dark and unsettling for its intended audience. It's got scenes of mouses being syringed, a man being shot in the face by the dogs, and a dog being sent to an incinerator because it was defective or being dumped into the rubbish. It's awfully grim. And people have compared that with Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which has scenes, I think, of a rabbit with a speaker in its face or some turtle being drugged or dismembered. Explain a little bit what's going on here, because I'm actually a bit perplexed that Marvel went that political on the animal rights stuff.
Well, they probably figured it was a good way to get the audience to hate the bad guy. It was just basically going a bit into the character Rocket Raccoon's backstory and how he came about. And of course, well, not to give too many spoilers away, this guy was doing his experiments on animals, which is what made them sentient, but of course has also made them somewhat bionic by giving them attaching all these inorganic mass to them, like robotic arms and everything. I don't think on screen you actually see a huge amount of abuse going on. At least I didn't. At least I don't recollect anything. It's very heavily implied, but due to how well the James Gunn does the movie, the implications really do hammer home, and you probably think you've seen you more than you actually have. It just the implied cruelty though just does hit you in the feels, but obviously that's done deliberately to make you realize that the bad guy, the high evolutionary or whatever his name is an utter cunt who deserves to die.
I'll take your word for what you just said about that. Because from some of the clips that I have seen, the photos, it does look as though Will Poulter's character is somehow involved in this whole conspiracy. At least that's what I'm getting at.
Kinda, but not really. He's in more of a third party in the whole scenario.
Okay. I just was curious, that was all, because there was a lot of reviews on Common Sense Media and a few other platforms there that said, I wish I never took my chance to go see this movie. It was so terrifying, or it really upset me. I started crying after leaving the cinema. And to hear responses like that come out of a Marvel movie certainly sort of harkens back to some of the hoopla about Doctor Strange 2.
It's not as bad as Doctor Strange 2. It's not as bad as Doctor Strange 2. That one really pushed that PG-13 and 12A rating to its limits, if you ask me.
What about Eternals?
Turtles? What, you mean Turtles and Guardians of the Galaxy?
Eternals.
Oh, Eternals. Right, sorry, I'm misheard. Nah, not really. There's not much to Eternals. It's standard Marvel fare. I know there was a sex scene, but to be honest, I didn't really. There's not much to it, that really. It's probably a bit more riskier with a sex scene than other Marvel fare. Violence wise, it's par for the course, though.
All right. Well, you're the expert on this one, so I take your word for it, really.
I wouldn't bandy that word around too flippantly. I wouldn't call myself an expert on it. I mean, I'm quite experienced, but yeah.
We know a lot more
don't
about.
Don't give me too much credit.
But yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a sort of weird area. Now, I know both of us have seen Alita Battle Angel. I've even seen the original anime that was based on the manga and that James Cameron would ultimately adapt. Now, haven't seen the anime, which is a 15 certificate. That scene where a dog is killed is much more gruesome than in the film itself. We actually see, I think, intestines exposed and blood really gushing out on screen. And this was at a time where you couldn't really show that high level of violence in really anything, unless you get to 18, really.
Well, the anime is always more violent. Let's forget, at least Battle Angel was 12A/PG-13. Even if it did really push that to its absolute limit. I know I said that Doctor Strange 2, but good grief, Alita Battle Angel was violent for its rating.
My approach on it was a little bit different than yours. I thought it was fine, maybe on the higher level, but I would say, you know, sort of stuff like 10 Cloverfield Lane or Casino Royale and Da Vinci Code kind of take the cake as far as higher end 12s are concerned. maybe even Van Helsing, because that was more horror oriented, which horror films don't really have a strong place at 12, mind you. You usually always get complaints from parents. Case in point, Doctor Strange 2, Woman in Black. But yes, that dog scene, I'm sure, was not well responded by very many people, but trust me, the anime version that was a 50th gig by Manga Entertainment was certainly much more gruesome. I thought, oh, I wasn't expecting it to be that detailed. Even, it was even more detailed than the Elf and Lead scene, where much of the Elf and Lead scene was sort of shown off-screen, but you do see blood pouring out on the ground after they beat it to death. And dog-wise, I know some fuckers seem to compare one of my favourite Japanese cartoons to John Wick. I don't understand why. I think it's just the isolated moment where we see someone's dog is killed, and makes him angry and wants to kill people.
How did I forget? How the fuck can I forget John Wick? Because that's like one of the most infamous bloody dog killing scenes in all of film. And of course, it's, a lot of people have a hard time watching the first John Wick due to that scene. But we understand that that's what motivates him to basically, over the course of four films, rack up a body count that would basically would make him a war criminal in any other context. But yeah, that was a thought. One film, it was two more things I actually wanted to bring up. Firstly, there's the film Gladiator. This is probably quite a passing comment. I'm not really going to dwell on too much. But the one scene that I didn't like in that film was a scene where he actually kills a tiger, because he's in that fight. It's like, oh no, you killed a tiger. I don't want to see a tiger get killed. Oh, big wuddly tiger. But also, I mean, we haven't mentioned Anaconda yet.
Well, that one was a bit of an unusual one, because I remember when The Hunt for the Blood Orchid came out, that was a 12A. I thought, it looks like a 15 to me. It looks awfully intense. I that's probably why I didn't even see it. I was surprised at the sequel one. I know the original Anaconda was a 15, but both of them are PG-13s.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a generation of people, they were scared by that movie.
Well, it is quite. I mean, the Anaconda. Yeah, the way they do it, it is quite scary. I mean, all in all, the film's shit. But I mean, yeah, it can be quite scary. We think about being hunted by this snake that's almost the size of a. I don't know how long is a football field now. They say that the anaconda's 40 foot long. I don't think they actually do grow that long, but according to this film, they do, and that's how big the creature is in this movie. But yeah, but nonetheless, an anaconda is a very big snake, and if you were being hunted by one, it probably would be absolutely terrifying.
Well, frankly, I'm not going to the Amazon rainforest any moment given or time, or in the sort of outbacks of Australia, so we likely see those sort of creatures. I've seen a rattlesnake firsthand, and didn't approach it. And I even also held a python at one point in time. I was at Farm World. Must have been about 10 or 9. That was pretty fun, holding a python. In terms of the censorship.
Python.
Yeah. Well,
how you pronounce it, is it?
Python? Python?
Well, python is very American, or seppo, as I would usually say. Whereas, python is the more British way of saying it. I don't suppose either way is particularly right. It's just a different way of saying it, that's all.
Well, I mean, I'm guilty of saying some Americanisms, because I call Tuesday, Tuesday. I say schedule, not schedule.
Ugh, that one.
So I'm a traitor. But make no mistake, I'm as British as they come.
British, I mean, so yeah.
Yeah, southeast home counties, very boring. Unlike you, you're from a more interesting part of the UK.
Gloucestershire.
Yeah. I know I've got into trouble with Tom a few times trying to use your accent. And he says, you don't sound like that, but I always think you still have that twang a little bit. Like when you say anything with the letter R at the end, you can tell.
Yeah, like, I've noticed it. I've actually noticed it. Anytime I say anything with a hard U sound, it doesn't come across that. Or Like I remember listening to one of our 12A podcast, and I talked about Rush Hour, and of course the way I said Rush has made me realize, oh yeah, that does that West Country does carry through a bit.
I think that's the ultimate charm of it, and plus, you know, they mock people mocking you about your area a lot. That's all farmers and cider and combine harvesters.
There's a lot of that.
But, you know, that's one reason why I partly did the animal podcast, because you can sort of relate to that sort of environment. And then also the Guardians of the Galaxy controversy certainly was a bit on people's minds for the past month. Sorry, it sounds like my nose is really blocked right now, but hopefully I try to get better. But I don't want to be sneezing live on the recording, so I'll do it after the recording is finished there, if you know what I mean. But I don't know if you have anything else to say in regards to animals, because I was going to say, for you as a question, what has your experience been with sexual abuse involving animals? Because I know I mentioned Clerks 2 and a few other films.
Wait, you mean on film and TV, not in real life, right?
Yeah, and films and TV, because...
Well, thank fuck for that. I was wondering what you're about to start suggesting. Probably the worst one I can think of is the first ever episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that whole show all this time. But yeah, I've seen that years ago, and I thought, what on earth is this a 15 for? I was not comfortable watching...
That was the first... The first episode was an 18, wasn't it? Sorry to interrupt.
I know the Netflix versions were 18s, but I know on DVD, when it was still Channel 4 production, they were 15 certificates. But that scene where an MP is forced to squirt like a pig, literally, yes. I thought, ooh, what? I'm not very good with scenes, certain scenes of sexual assault or rape. Then I am not a friend to it. Even scenes of bestiality sort of rub me off the wrong way. It kind of creeps me out.
Did just gross me out so much. I was thinking, oh, they're not actually going to go through it. It was like, oh my God, they did. Then of course, I should have realized it's Charlie Brooker. Of course, he's going to make him go through with it.
Well, I mean, you know, he's the man behind Scream Wipe, after all. He's a very wild character. He makes me laugh quite a bit. I prefer his Scream Wipe stuff and How TV Ruined Your Life more so than his Black Mirror stuff that made him a household name for many people. But there was a bit of a controversy, not only that episode, but there was an ad for Skittles, which involved a woman kissing a walrus. It was played for laughs. It got a use certificate in the cinema, but a lot of people thought that was endorsing zoophilia, that sort of thing.
Well, that's a bit stupid. I mean, come on.
I mean, many people kiss their dogs, but would you want to lick its balls?
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, I don't mean, yeah, I'd want to lick its balls. I mean, yeah, I see your point. Just because that could be misinterpreted. But,
Well, I mean, on some level, you've seen a lot of those creepy, lonely young men who are obsessed with Lola Bunny from Space Jam.
That was really disturbing.
You know, I mean, I like animated women, as you obviously well know. Yeah. Some people must have a bit of a fetish. But animal, you know, women who look like animals or rabbits, and they're sort of humanized like that, and people sort of jerk off to it, that's too much. I don't want to look at a rabbit girl. I want to look at a woman. That's why Space Jam, on some level, I have to be a little bit careful what I'm talking about. Even if it is a use certificate, it's a standard fine you, but some people will sexualize it so much. I think, okay.
Well, yeah, the new film or anything, or new TV series, I mean, they... God, I can't believe I'm going to start talking about this. They downgrade or de-emphasize Lola Bunny's breasts, and oh boy, the manosphere online did not like that and actually started complaining about shit tons. Like, guys, you're talking about a cartoon bunny rabbit's tits. Just Take 5 seconds to look at what you're doing with your life.
I know, it's awfully bizarre. If you don't mind, I'm just going to put some music onto the side. I just need to do something like quick.
Okie dokie.
Hopefully that wasn't a bit of a disturbance. I can sort of keep the silence on there, just mainly for comic relief. But what was your last thoughts you were going to be saying?
I was just commenting on the sadness of a bunch of guys on the internet bitching about a cartoon rabbit's tits.
I know, it's awfully bizarre, really. I mean, it's one thing to talk about Elastigirl, or just a rabbit, or... Okay, I'm going to stop here because that's getting into a bit of pervy territory. It's like me talking about Pulp Fiction a lot, mainly because of Mia Wallace. Mm. You probably picked up on a few things since you've seen me.
Well, I mean, I probably picked on a few things, Mark, but I'm not ready to confront them just yet.
All right, then. Well, to each his own. But I'm very grateful to have you on board finally again.
I'm very grateful for you to be inviting me and having me back. It's been a while since we last spoke to each other, and I have missed these things, and I'll be very more than ready to do the next one when the time comes.
Absolutely, there. And we like to thank everyone who is for listening right now. Usually at the end of these videos, they usually ask for like Patreon support and subscriptions and stuff, but I don't think I'm quite at that level where I can be asking people stuff like that because I'm not PewDiePie, I'm not Chris Stuckman, I'm not this famous asshole who likes to make himself, look at me, look at me, look at me. I do this mainly for fun and for my own interest in film and media and contacts. I actually don't get paid to do any of this. I do this all for free. Hopefully that will change in the very near future.
Well, it'd be pretty miffed if you were getting paid because I haven't received a damn penny for it.
Exactly there.